Good morning, this is Dave. Linda, say hello.
Hello.
And we're here on this Sunday morning. It's here in Nashville at our kitchen breakfast nook table, which is our normal broadcasting spot. It's our studio. We actually want to have one day. But in the meantime, this is what you get.
Yeah.
And so this morning, you know, last week, we talked about how to move forward, and we talked about things you can do to renew, invigorate, or reinvigorate your relationship with God. And I think this is kind of like a follow-up. It wasn't really intended to be. Linda and I discuss and pray, and generally I come up with what I feel like the Lord wants us to talk about. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. And what I want to talk about is, and this is from the Christian perspective. And I know that there probably are similar beliefs in other religions and groups. And we don't mean to exclude any of those. It's just that this is the perspective we know and understand pretty well. And we're working to know and understand it better. And that is, who am I in Christ? And we titled this, I'm Better Than This. And the reason I titled it that is because I'm trying to remind myself, I'm better than this. Based on who I am in Christ, a son of God, a prince in the kingdom, a new creature, a new person in Christ, I can do better than I've done. And I don't want to get into a legalistic, judgmental, condemning kind of thing, you know, but to say, hey, this is not true about me. According to the Word of God, this is not true about me, and I'm not going to walk in this anymore. I'm not going to, you know, I choose to do better because I'm better than this. So there's your introduction. Linda, are you ready?
As ready as I'm going to get. I think that's a...
Where do you want to start with this topic?
I think it's a different title. I kind of like it. I do like it. I think it causes us to think and to say, hey, when you have those moments, and we all have those moments when we're our humanness overclouds us and we get in our ego or whatever, and we're not as maybe compassionate or whatever, that's a good moment to say that I am better than this, and that I can rise to the occasion to be what God has called me to be. And it just helps us to be aware of our thoughts and actions, that we are God's hands and arms and feet on the earth. And people, you know, Christians pretty much are under the light right now. You know, whether we know it or not, we are being scrutinized and condemned when we don't profess to be who we say we are.
Well, let's go there for just a moment, because I know this is a real topic for you that you and I have discussed. Is that in our society, in our culture, and the thing, and we're talking about the United States because I don't know all the cultures of the
world.
Me either.
Not well.
Here,
yeah.
You know, we have this situation of divisiveness, and sometimes it feels like it's Christian and unchristian. And I just want to say to those that are on whatever side, I don't care, is, if you're a Christian, act like one.
And that's all that we're saying.
You know,
is what does the word say? And,
don't be,
you know,
name calling. Don't be ugly. Don't be nasty. Don't be cruel. You know, that's not Christian-like.
It's not Christ-like.
Christ.
He was a very, if you, very inclusive person and very...
Amen.
Caring, although he did bring people to the task and question them appropriately.
There was never cruel or mean.
No.
You had one episode of righteous anger, and righteous anger.
Right.
Where he got pretty physical.
Yeah.
But other than that, he was honest. He stated his case and backed it up with the Word of God and said, this is not okay. But he never excluded anyone. If you don't believe it, go to, the woman at the well, who was a Samaritan, who all Jews had nothing to do with, but not Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He sought her out. He was there for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't just happen to show up at the well. That was,
and he listened, because it's one scripture, and I'll be messing this up. I'll probably have to go get phone or whatever. But it was the woman who was asking for something for her children, and she was of another culture. I think it was her son. And she was like, even the dog get crumbs from the table. Because in a way, he was almost excluding her, but he wasn't really excluding her. He was having a lesson there that he was teaching to other people. And so, even in that, it wasn't that he was excluding her. He was teaching a lesson. And he did agree with her at the end. Yeah, we have to, all share at the table. So, we have to, sometimes our thoughts and our beliefs, and this is kind of in the way and kind of all over kind of way.
That's okay.
But sometimes our thoughts and beliefs that we grew up with are not always right sometimes.
See, here's where I don't disagree with you, but I want to refine that for me.
Okay, well, let me finish first. And
I'm
then,
sorry.
Yeah. So sometimes to me, our thoughts and some of the things we grew up with may not be what fits the day. And sometimes we outgrow some of the things we've been taught as a child. And sometimes, for some people, what we were taught was wrong. And so as we grow and become our own purpose, our own person, then we have to look at those thoughts and beliefs and see, does our life at this point line up with that? Is that what I should continue to believe? Is this in the Word? Is this how I should treat people? Even if you were taught another way, but when you look at it, it just isn't right, or you've outgrown that thought. And it's a very uncomfortable place to be when you get to the point that you've outgrown some patterns, some teachings that you got or had received from your younger years. And you have to, I guess you almost have to ask your question, or say that I'm better than it. Sometimes some things that I was taught when I reached 30s or so, I had outgrown those, and I couldn't function in that pattern anymore. And so I had to let them go. And sometimes we've outgrown beliefs that maybe we were taught or that we just received because everybody else in our culture believed that. So sometimes you reach that place in the road where you have to decide for yourself, am I going to continue this, or am I going to do what the Word says or what God says? Or, you have to kind of filter what is right for you.
Yeah, we're saying the same thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it a little different. I believe that the Word we were taught, I was taught at times an application of the Word that was not correct. It's not that the Word's never been wrong.
No.
But my brother and I talked about this a lot. And we're learning to apply God's Word without prejudice. And it's enlightening. It's interesting.
It's stretching.
It's stretching. And it can be contradictory to what is being practiced in a church. And I'm not picking on any church.
Yeah.
A church that excludes people, I have a hard time with that, because as we just talked about, Jesus didn't exclude people. He says he came to heal the sick. He said, those that are well don't need a physician, but those that are sick do. Well, then if we exclude, then How do we minister to them? Now, we get way off the typical topic, but that's
but
okay.
I think that it is pretty much on topic because it says I'm better than it.
Okay.
I'm better than the cultural norm.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
I'm better than this in that I see things from the eyes of Christ.
I want kingdom eyes.
I want kingdom eyes. And so if you want kingdom eyes, sometimes there comes a cross in the road where you have to say, am I going to go with the cultural norms, which, you know, I'm not going to say they're wrong, but they no longer fit you, you know, or sometimes they're just wrong, and they are, and you have to call that for what it is, or sometimes you just outgrown a certain belief system because really, you know, I think about my parents, they did the best they could with what they had at the time that they had it. Nothing wrong or nothing like that. But as I grew, I just became exposed probably to more cultures and a lot more things than they did. So if they functioned out of the knowledge that they had, I'm not going to really call them wrong. I'm just saying that they functioned out of that. And so as I grew and I became more exposed to different people, different kinds of people, different places, then my knowledge base expanded because I could see things more from a worldview. And my children, they probably see things triple what I see from where I was. And so sometimes when you have grown past maybe what your parents or your grandparents, you know, most of the time they stayed in their little area.
In their sphere.
In their sphere of influence. And that was it. So when you function out of this is what I see, sometimes it's not as the greater world.
In today's society with the media.
Right.
The internet, the educational opportunities, you get introduced and exposed to so much more. And I'm deliberately exposing myself to things. I'm reading, frankly, about Buddhism and Hinduism. And you know that. Because I want to understand. I'm a Christian. I will always be a Christian. That's never going to change. I'm committed. Even if I chose to try to change it, I couldn't change it. Because once saved, I believe once saved, always saved. But let me give you our audience one example that to me is really clear. And I'm not picking on anybody or anything. But I was raised in church that it was almost stated, and I was in a Protestant denomination, that Catholics were going to hell. You know, I mean, it wasn't obvious, actually, you know, but it was kind of like, well, you know, until I became exposed to the Episcopal denomination, which is so close to the Catholic, then I started understanding, no. You know, they practice differently than I had been practicing. And some of their practices I have chosen to own and enjoy and believe in changes everything, you know. And I was actually in a church where privately I went to the pastor and said, Pastor, do you realize that I work with Catholic people, but I can't invite them to your church? He was like, what? And I said, because you would offend them. Your preaching out of the pulpit would offend them. And you know, he quit doing it.
Wow. And that speaks volumes of him. That really does.
Oh, I was so proud of him.
You know,
because
we'll say that every, you know, anybody can come to our church. And I'm not saying that we have to change our belief system, but would they feel comfortable sitting in your church?
Right. And there's,
you know,
a real criteria.
That is it. Because I've been to church as a black woman. I've gone into, in Alabama, me and my daughter went into a church that I felt like, okay, if I live in this city, I should be able to go to any church in that city. And not that nobody threw me out. I don't want it to say that or anything like that.
But you felt it.
But I felt. And this was in 2000, actually it might have been 2001 or 2002, that, you know, only one, it was a big church, and only one person came up to me and my daughter and said, welcome.
Wow. Yeah. Again, you know.
Yeah.
So there's a place that we as a society and we as individuals, we're better than that.
We're better than that. It's what and individually, just even take it out of that whole realm of that. In your day-to-day, how are you treating people? Because, you know, we say this all the time. It's about, you know, are you patient when you're in line? Are you kind to somebody, you know, that may be a little slower when they're taking care of you? Because you don't know what people have gone through the day. I really try to be cognizant of that, that I don't treat people or say my nasty comments when I have to wait. You know, sometimes you do get a little frustrated, but I try not to take that on the person that may be doing the best they can when they have a whole lot of people, be that the cashier or whatever, to be patient. You know, you're not the only person.
You know, what comes to my mind is a wonderful, I love this, and it comes from St. Augustine, I believe, who said, all times witness, and when necessary, speak.
That I love,
I love that.
It is
because
true.
You're in the grocery line, at work, in the car, in traffic, I'm talking to me now, you know, are you kind? Are you forgiving to the guy who cut you off, you know, et cetera, et cetera. For me, it's the guy who's riding my bumper, you know, and you know, it all matters. And I've got a list of future topics, and one of them is going to be mind talk. And it's very similar to this one, you know, and that is 9 times out of 10 for me, when I find that I'm being ornery, I use the word ornery, but it's really, you know, mean or ugly or unkind or unforgiving or whatever. I don't have my mind in the right place. I haven't spent time with the Lord. I haven't prepared. I'm not in tune, for lack of a better word.
And I feel that's true for all. I know Joyce Myers has a book, Battleground of the Mind. And I read that a long time ago. I don't know when it was, but it really, it begins in the mind when we are in our flesh, in ego, you know, when we are being a little bit in our ego and selfish, and we're all guilty of it. It is a battleground of the mind to, you know, what is your self-talk about? You know, how you treat, are you loving your neighbor like yourself? It's all of those things that go back to very biblical things, that love your neighbor as yourself, you know, treating people as you would want to be treated. Just being cognizant of that, and that does raise your level of being a person, you know, when you treat people other than you would want to be, whatever they are, even, you know, if you don't agree with their political, sexual, or whatever belief, you still have to treat them like a human being.
Well, you still have to treat them in a Christ-like manner.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. And so that's perfect, really lead into, let's get back on kind of topic here. Not that we've really been off, but Linda, who are you? Who do you believe you are now that you have accepted Christ, and can you talk about that?
Well, I'm trying to work in this and really believe that, and it is a battleground of the mind, and it's constantly for me to keep myself in that place. I believe I'm the heir of salvation. I'm a royal priestess. I am a queen, and I am of royalty. So, you know, to act in that matter, sometimes I have to act. How would a queen act?
Bingo. There you go. See, if we are who we say we are, the sons and daughters of the King of Kings,
and Lord of
royalty, adopted with full birthrights according to the word, then, you know, it's just like if you, you know, watch the royal family of England and you see and you know that Prince Philip and Andrew you know, they have to keep their image. Now, occasionally they fall.
Yes,
we've seen those
we fall. All fall short of the glory of
but
God.
You know, but if I use that illustration, it is the same.
It is the same because there are certain things that the Queen of England knows. Like, you're not going to see her out here shaking her boom bag.
Right, there's a dignity. Now, we can carry this too far.
And you can, and I do feel like, and as an older woman, I feel like I have another responsibility. That, no, there are certain things I have to give up that maybe I did in my 20s, that now in my dang near 60s, it is just not.
It doesn't befit
you. It doesn't befit me.
And it doesn't befit the kingdom. You know, you've reached the place of more dignity and more self-control. And
there you go. And I mean, that's an ongoing. I'm not trying to be other than myself, but there are certain things that I would have to say. I can't do any that anymore. And it's the part in the Bible that says older women mentor your younger women.
Right.
I have to walk as a wife.
As an example.
I have to walk as a Christian woman, a woman of God. In my walk, I want you to see is that I'm kind and compassionate and that I encourage and uplift people and that I am salt, that I am light. That is what I would like to be. Am I that every day, all day? No. That is what I strive to be.
Right, and we're still working, and mm-hmm. we're still practicing, and we're still growing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. The Lord understands that. He's not disappointed. He's not mad. He's not angry. He's not surprised.
No.
So let's use prince and princesses mm-hmm. as our image
mm-hmm.
or our goal. Is that we, you know, so that is what we are.
Mm-hmm.
But now I want to go into how do we act like, okay, in our human efforts, we're going to fall short.
Mm-hmm.
And even in our Christian efforts, sometimes we're going to fall short. But I guess what I want to give to people, to myself this morning, is I'm better than this. Now, how do I act like I'm better than this? And so I want to go to some scriptures,
mm-hmm.
you know, that for example, I am a new, and I'm not going to quote the scriptures. I'm just going to share the principles and the truths. I am a new creature in Christ. When I accepted Jesus Christ into my heart, the Holy Spirit came and transformed me. Now, I still have the old man in his flesh. That old guy still exists. He will try to influence me. He will tempt me. He will, in conjunction with our enemy, do everything he can to cause me to stumble. But I'm a new creature. Doesn't mean I won't stumble. But I'm a new creature, and that new creature now houses the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit that helps me be better than this. It's not my human effort anymore. It's my human cooperation. That's what I call it cooperation. So when the Holy Spirit, God's voice, says to me, don't do this, I say, yes, sir. And when the Holy Spirit, God's voice says, I want you to do this, I say, yes, sir, I will, by your power. And then the Word says that through Christ I can do all things. And wow, you know, I've struggled with that verse. I still struggle with that verse because it doesn't feel like I'm doing all things. But he says I can, and I'm going to keep holding and grabbing and pulling that verse into my heart and my mind until I really believe it.
Yeah.
And you know, it's kind of like one of my other favorite verses, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief.
Yes. And those are, I feel like the Holy Spirit is this powerhouse treasure inside of us. And a lot of times we have difficulty walking in the ways of Christ because we don't tap into the powerhouse, you
Amen.
Know. And so tapping into the powerhouse is first having that, we talked about that last week, having that connection. So to me, to walk in the righteousness of God, to walk as a royal priest or priestess, one of the first things you have to do is be connected to the power source. The other thing is, how do you connect? Prayer, conversation, two-way conversation, being open, spending time with God. Because once you recognize the voice of God, you know it's like your guide. The Holy Spirit guides and teaches you. Don't do that. That wasn't the best thing to say. You could have said it. And so you don't condemn yourself. But every mistake, everything we do, I try to get to the point where, okay, how could I have done that differently? What am I supposed to learn here? So sometimes, if you will keep doing the same thing over and over and over and over. You don't take a moment to reflect and say, what was I supposed to learn there? How could I have done that differently? The Holy Spirit will guide you and teach you as long as you, and how you get that fine-tuned hearing is that you have to spend time with God.
And that is the renewing of
your
mind, the transformation that takes place over a long period of time for me, where God is still changing the way I think to come into synchronization with his way of thinking, and I love that. So connection, go to, if you're listening, and I remind myself, go back last week and look at all the ways that you can connect and build your relationship with God. That's the foundation.
That is the foundation.
Now, you've got that. Now, as you go out, ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
And say, Lord, I'm going into this work situation, and it's negative, and people are being terminated or laid off, or it's a high pressure, or whatever the case may be. I also call it rehearsal, where I go, Lord, how do you want me to be here? And the Lord says, I want you to be compassionate and forgiving and not always have to have your way and not always have to be the speaker, the center of attention, and you have all the right, and I'm only saying these things because this is what God says.
Well, and he's getting me to me. The real thing that God is getting to me is listen.
Yes.
He is teaching me to listen with my whole body. And actually, I got that from something I've been studying, and it was like, listen with your whole body. Well, if you listen with your whole body, you can't speak. You can't rush to make your point. You listen with your whole body, meaning that you just quietly sit there
and really
listen and focus in with all of your senses on what they're saying.
And this is what I do, not what I'm trying. I'm thinking, I know I want to, what I want to say. And I'm guilty of this. I'm really, boy.
Me too. I interrupt. We do it to each other. We interrupt each other. And I'm very bad. And the Lord is teaching me, no. As a matter of fact, for a while, I don't even want you to speak. I want you to listen with your whole body. Listen with your eyes. Listen with your ears. Listen with your senses. Keep your hands down. Just
can we
listen.
Not do that same thing with the Holy Spirit?
Mm-hmm.
To listen to the Holy Spirit with
your whole
body.
Ooh,
that
is deep,
that
isn't
is
it?
Good.
Yeah.
My spiritual mentor, Chuck Jones, Archbishop of the Charismatic Episcopal Church, honorary doctorate. I get tickled because he's my friend. I still know him as Chuck, but he's come a long way. But when he mentored me, one of the things he used to say is, Dave, when you see God in all your circumstances, God becomes your environment. Wow, that's where I want to be. Where I'm just walking around in this, almost a bubble. I mean, because it's like, when you can get to that place, and I've been there, and I will be there again, and I'm there this morning, I'm there right now, where God is so full that nothing really bothers me. I just kind of go, okay, That's not how I thought that was going to go, but all right, God's in control. I believe, I trust, it's going to be okay. You know, we're better than this. So I also want to, you know, make sure that, and you know me, I always want to give people the practical things. So the practical things is, go back to last week.
Yeah.
And get connected.
It was a good
step
lesson.
One, and yeah. I'm going to blog on that. And I promised Linda I would, and I want to, but I haven't done it yet. Get connected first. Then start believing who you are. First and foremost, you are a, as Linda said, a high, not a low, a high priest or priestess. And if you understand, read any of the Old Testament, high priest is the high priest. He's the guy who, he was the only guy with the authority to offer atonement for sin, the sacrifice for the atonement of sin. He was the only guy.
Well, and then that you're a royal priest.
Yeah, thank you.
And a royal, that means you come from a line of royalty. And we do. Because we are the daughters and sons of the creator of the universe, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I mean, I don't know how higher you can be than that.
You can't. There is no human way to be any higher than that.
And as I'm saying that, it's almost like ringing inside of me like, oh, you know, and sometimes even we put ourselves beneath certain people and look at them in awe when you're just as important to God because you are a royal priest. You are the heir of salvation.
Well, that's interesting. Let's go there for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know this is a particularly important point for you. And that is, as you begin to understand who you are, that you are a royal priest or priestess, a prince or princess, fully, completely adopted with all rights and privileges.
Yes.
Don't think you're not as good or as important as your pastor.
Right.
Or as your Bible study teacher. Or as whatever leader you want
to play, they
just have a different calling. That's all.
Yes.
Now, can we learn from them? Can we admire their abilities and how they're being used? Absolutely. Is there some authority that comes with those positions? I believe so.
Yes, I do believe it, that it is, but I don't believe that they are any better than I am. I don't believe that I have to be. I respect them. I respect their office, but I'm not in awe of them. I guess because I've seen, you know, and that brings up, you know, pastors and preachers. We put them on this pedestal. Sometimes we worship them like they're God. And then when they fall, we are like all messed up. And it's almost like your life is like, oh, my God.
What am I going to do now?
They are men and women of God, just like you.
So be forgiving.
Yes.
And be understanding. And be empathetic and sympathetic
to
these men and women who have given their lives to their ministry, to God's ministry, I hope. But realize they're not perfect.
And neither
are
you.
And they're not above you. They may have been placed spiritually in places of authority, and you have to respect and pay attention to that, I believe. We'll talk about that one.
Yeah, I do believe you have to respect the position of that they are, but some people, they live their life according to what their pastor said. Like, they won't even marry a certain person because their pastor told them not. And you know what, I'm not, that's kind of off topic, and I maybe not, because God has given us our own right to live your life. You have free will. So when anybody else directs your free will, you place them in the place of God. God is the only person that can direct your free will.
Yeah, we're going to have to do another topic on this, because this is where Linda and I, we don't really disagree, but it's a little different for me and how I do spiritual authority. But it's okay. I mean, our differences are okay.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing for us to get upset about.
No.
Another topic, another day, got off track. So, you know, also, here's what the enemy does to me. Again, I'm going to own this because I've struggled with this week. I fell in one place, and he comes in, and the next thing you know, I just kind of give up, just wallow in guilt, and I can't move forward, and all those things. So I'm going to give you guys the verse that I use when I'm there. And it took me, 40 years as a Christian to get this. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you've fallen, get up. Say, Lord, I fell. I agree with you that I fell. Now, I want to not fall again. And God will say, it's okay. I forgive you. Now, here, let me wash you off a little bit. Let me put a Band-Aid on the knee or whatever it is. You know, and let's move on.
And you know, sometimes when I was a single parent and just making, I used to say to myself, I don't have the luxury to get so into myself that I can't function. You just don't have the luxury. So, but you still can be a little bit depressed or whatever. You just go into the motions. But there is the gift of responsibility that I think that helps sometimes you from going to that layer where you just want to
just pull the sheets up.
And I'm just going to stay here for the next 20 years. You know, when you have kids and all of that, sometimes it is a great thing to say, I don't have the luxury to do that.
Right.
But it is one of those things where I feel like sometimes maybe that is the thing that I'm better than this. Now I've spent a couple of days in bed. I'm not going to lie with some things that knocked me down or whatever. But it is that I'm better than this. I don't have to. I'm a child of the Most High. And one of the things is, what are you saying to yourself? What talk are you listening to in your mind is what I'm talking about. Because being children of God, I think that a certain place, when you know this isn't scriptural, when this isn't lining up with the Word of God, you have to, hey, this is not the truth. This is a lie. This is who I am. You have to reinforce who you are when the devil is like, you messed up. You're never going to recover from this. You might as well go hide under a rock and never come out. You just really flubbed up here. And so sometimes you have to re-script that because you are telling yourself that. And so, you know, some things we put on the devil and he does do a lot of stuff. But sometimes we have to re-script what we're hearing in our mind. And the enemy does put thoughts in our mind, but we also put thoughts and we rehearse them. So I'm a no good, I can't go on from here, da-da-da-da-da. When you keep repeating that, you are telling yourself that and you're setting yourself up for that. When you say, no, this is not the truth. Yes, I messed up, but I can do better. I'm better than this. I can move forward. I don't have to. I can just tell the other person, hey, I'm sorry I did that, and move on. And sometimes they will forgive me, and sometimes maybe not, but I can keep moving forward. I can confess my sin and move forward. So a lot of it is, what is our self-talk? Mm-hmm. And do we put an end to the lie when it starts going over and over in my brain? I'm better than this.
Here's another side to that, that, again, took me forever to get this, that God can fix us of righteousness. You know, sometimes when you're struggling, when you've fallen, when you've messed up, and you think, oh, my goodness, I'm never going to. Let God come in and go, hey, look where you are. Do you remember when? And God does this for me sometimes. Do you remember when you first got saved, how you were doing? Do you remember in your 20s and 30s how you did and how much healthier you are today? Do you know that I'm proud of you, and here's why. And he just give me these things. And I go, oh, thanks, Lord. What a great coach you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Really?
I like to use this analogy. It reminds me, it helps me. It's real, real simple. When I was a child, 7, 8 years old, I began to play basketball. Couldn't dribble, couldn't shoot, you know, didn't pass well. I kept practicing and practicing, and I got better. I was never a superstar, but I got better. It's kind of the same thing, you know, it really is sort of the same thing. You know, so don't beat yourself up if you're just learning to dribble.
Jesus even did it when the devil came to him and said, if you do this, you'll have all of that. And you, if you do this, you'll have this. I'll send da-da-da-da-da. And if he didn't know who he was when the devil, and, you know, I feel like that was a mind thing. I don't know if the devil truly appeared or if the thoughts were there. And what he was teaching us there is to guard your heart and your mind with all diligence. So if he didn't know that he was King of Kings, Lord of Lords, when the devil offered him a kingdom, he was offering him his own kingdom.
Right. I've always kind of got a kick out of that going.
That's mine.
That's how it already is.
Yeah, so if he didn't know that, right, wouldn't that have been the deepest treasure that he could have fell into that? Oh, he's going to give me.
Oh, good point.
Yes. So when we don't know who we are, the devil can come along and offer us.
And lie.
And he
us.
Does. He offers us what we already have.
And
it's
lie.
All in lies.
Yeah, absolutely lie. Because he is the father of lies.
Yes, but, you know, so you have to know who you are and what God has given you.
How do you learn that, Linda?
You got to get in the Word.
Got to get in the Word. Thank you.
Yeah, you do have to know.
We can give you some. I can tell you, but you really need to go find this out for yourself. And I'm not talking about being able to quote certain scriptures, but to just know, go read who you are.
And look at, well, and think about that. If you are the heir of salvation, you are the heir that has been saved from everything that is wrong with the world.
And the flesh.
You are the heir of that. That pretty much includes
Everything. You know, here's the one I like, you know, is, and these are all, you know, again, you're better than this. Did you
mm-hmm.
know that your father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills? Did you know that your father can provide for you all that you need? All that you need, not necessarily all that you want.
But you're seated in heavenly realm.
Oh, I love that.
If you are seated with Christ in heavenly realm, on the right hand of him, I just believe that's a space in a place that you, it's the good of the earth, the good of the land, everything that's good.
Yeah.
You're seated there with him.
Right. And so, you know, when you think you've lost, you have it.
Mm-mm.
When you think you've been defeated, you haven't. Again, Christ, when Jesus said on the cross, it is finished, he meant the work has been done. The mission has been accomplished. Now we get to enjoy the completion of that mission, which is just amazing. Just, you know, again, and I wrote it in our introduction, we are not fighting really to win battles. We are simply enforcing the results of victory already won. And I've been thinking about that all week, and I think of those situations of law and order, so to speak, where an official, an officer, let's say a police officer or a military officer, who comes in after a victory and says, this is how this is going to be. This is how this is going to be. Because we won, we get to enforce these rules. Well, folks, we've already won. I'm enforcing the rules. I'm trying. You know, I like that perspective. It works for me.
And I think it's a pretty good perspective. I think that if we function in who we are and who we are in Christ, you know, even when you fall, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It lifts you up to try that again. With a new perspective, sometimes you can't keep doing the things that you've been doing when they don't give you good results. Sometimes you have to take a moment to reflect and try it in another angle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, try it with a fresher viewpoint, and it will work maybe the next time. But you can't keep doing the same methodical steps if it gets you to a point of failure.
Well, you're a parent. I'm a parent. We've had challenging children. Everybody does.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have more than one, they challenge you differently, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're talking about trying something different, a new perspective. Did you not have to do that with your kids? So one responds to this kind of positive. The other responds to this kind of positive. Totally different. What motivates one does not motivate the other. What discipline technique that works on one doesn't work on the other, and vice versa. You learn.
You do learn, and it's a life. Sometimes you just have to go through things. I'm doing a thing on grief. You know, in life, sometimes you can't go past the situation. You have to confront it and go through it. And grief is one of those things that, you know, it's not like you can walk around this. And people sometimes do, but then at some point in your life, you got to go back through that. Sometimes in life, when you hit those points in the road, I'm better than this, you need to look at the situation and just go through it with grace and dignity and just do the best you can as you go through whatever that trial or whatever in life. And I just feel like that's some of the things that we're called to go through some things sometimes for the betterment of another person that, hey, she went through that. And not, you don't have to brag. Your life speaks volumes without you saying a word.
Amen.
I'm a real believer in that. Like, I'm not real big.
You can be a Christian.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And so I just feel like sometimes when we don't speak and we walk in his ways, people see that.
I had a beautiful opportunity yesterday. I'm going to share this. We're in a meeting. I have an upper senior person. I got to be careful on that. Who, when they first came to our organization, he and I kind of butted heads. And I was pretty open and honest. I wasn't disrespectful or mean, but I just said what I thought. And I was able to yesterday look him in the eye and go, you know what? I'm going to take you at your word because you really did. You know, and I'm not sure where I was going with that, but I guess it was just such a great opportunity to encourage somebody and to tell them, and he knew. He looked me in the eye. He got it. Now, I respect you, and you earned it. You know, those are the kind of things we get to do when we're paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
The other one I want to make sure we leave, again, with practical things is comparisons will defeat you.
Mm-hmm.
So if I look at Linda and go, ah, man, she is so much more spiritual. I don't have this gift. I wish I had that. And, you know, next thing you know, you're defeated by something that isn't even an enemy, you know. So I want to share that is, you know, don't look at your brother or your sister and go, oh, man, I wish I was as far. Well, it's okay to wish you were as far as long, but don't put yourself down because you're not where they are on their path because it's your path.
That's true.
And this, my favorite, another one of my favorite verses, work out your own salvation with fear and meaning. My salvation, my path, how God saves me moment by moment, daily is different. than anybody else's.
And that's true. And I think sometimes when we look at those people that we could, I have some people I'm like, but sometimes you don't know what people have been through to get them to that place.
Amen.
And you may not want to have gone through what they have gone through to get to that place that you feel like is so spiritual.
And I'll tell everybody a little secret. They have struggles.
Yeah.
They have weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
They have failures.
Mm-hmm.
They're not perfect. You know.
Yeah, because sometimes, you know, I think it's a song that says sometimes when you, and it's basically meaning that when you think that I'm so spiritual, you don't know how many times I fell on my face and cried all night long.
Right.
So if you thought I was so spiritual, that was because I have been on my face in front of the Lord. I have cried tears that you probably wouldn't know. So then after doing that so many times, it becomes my way of walking.
So how do we encourage our listeners? What do you want to say to them about?
I just feel like awareness is one thing. Being aware and or awareness is in the terms or in the sense of knowing who you are. And when you have those moments when you're acting other than yourself, be aware of that. That's a starting point. Because if you know that you're a royal priestess, heir of salvation, and when you're walking in anything other than that, you're going around. And I do this sometimes. I have to confess my sins. I'll say a curse word here and there, you know what I'm saying? And sometimes I have to be like, oh, yeah, not
really.
Yeah. So you just correct it. You don't fall down. Oh, I'm just such a rut in a worm. No, I can do better. I'm better than that.
It's an admission.
It's an awareness. I can walk better than that. I can do better than that. So first be aware and then keep that connection to your power source through prayer, through quiet time, through reading the Word, to knowing the Word. It's when you know the Word, then you know who you are, and you're connected to that.
Here's another thing I want to bring up for our listeners and ourselves. God does not punish. He does discipline. The reason I say that is, let's go back to 1 John 1:9. And this is what finally the light bulb went on, because I had this habit taught to me through practice, not blaming anybody, but watching others and then learning it myself of, oh, I have to pay penance. You know, now I didn't say it. I just did it. Oh, you know, I did this, so now I've got to spend 3 hours reading the Word, or I've got to, you know, do something. I've got to pay for this sin. No, the sin's been paid for. That's why it says that he is justified to forgive us of our sins, because it's already been done. And so for those of you like me who fall and then think, oh, my goodness, I've fallen and I need to beat myself up, that will please God. No, it doesn't please God. In fact, he's just sitting up there going, let me know when you're finished. Because we just wasted time here. You know, you've confessed it. You have repented, and you don't want to do it again. That's good enough for me. And so I want to share that.
Yeah, and I have to say, that must be a terrible burden to feel like you. I don't know, because I came to Christianity a little bit later, so I didn't have that baggage. I had plenty others, don't get me wrong, but that's not one that I had. But I sympathize that must be a place to be. I just feel like, thank God he just gave me the freedom that I didn't feel like that I had to go through all of that.
I still... It almost is still my first reaction. I have to be honest, and I have to stop going, no. I'm not going to waste this time justifying myself when I've already been justified.
Yes, and I just, I don't know. I think that be free. Coming from Islam, I felt like the one of the benefits of Christianity that I was free in Christ.
Right.
So I just became free, you know, with that mindset, and I feel for people. But you know what? More than feeling, free yourself.
We did a show, and it's really called The Martyr Syndrome.
Yeah.
And it is wrapping in my family.
Yeah, well, free, what they say, free your mind and the rest will follow.
I'm working on it.
Walk in the freedom.
Yeah. I'm still working on it.
Walk in the freedom of Christ. It's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm encouraging. It's other people. I'm sure that's something you fall into where you have maybe seen that in your family, in your culture or whatever. Mm-hmm. But the culture we are now, our culture is that we are Christians, that we are followers of Christ.
Yeah. Now, you know, if you've hurt somebody, go back.
Yeah, definitely stay in that.
You can restore that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not penance. That's just doing the best. That's just doing a good thing, you know.
Right, doing the right thing. We always want to do the right thing. But don't walk in bondage if you can help it. And sometimes the bondage is in our mind. And Christ came to free us. And that keeps ringing in. Free your mind, and the rest will follow.
Scripture on that one.
Yes. We might need to do something. Walking in the freedom of Christ. Yes.
Life is connection with God. That is life. You know, there's a verse, I can't remember where it is, it says, I have my breath, my life, my well-being is in God.
Move and have my being in
God. There you go.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's where I want to be. First of all, it is true.
It is very true.
But that's where I want to experience that truth. That as I go through my day,
I live in this cocoon.
That was the very word, this bubble that protects me from everything. Now, that doesn't mean physically. I'm talking spiritually. That when I'm resting in Christ and I am free in Christ, you take your best shot.
Well, if you live, move, and have your being in God.
Yeah.
You are surrounded in Him. You are like this sail inside of a universal sail or something that is so protected by Him. And I feel like we don't even, as I was thinking about that, we don't even think about the human body. You have cells in the human body that are encased in our physical body.
Right.
So if you're encased in His physical body, one of many cells, that's pretty deep.
Well, we are the body of Christ.
But if you're one of the cells that move, live, and have your being in Him, how protected are you?
Very protected. And don't misunderstand, I don't want to do the blue sky, doesn't make sense, doesn't work, can't apply kind of stuff. Is secularly, whatever you want to call it, you're going to experience some difficulties.
Oh, yeah.
But even in the difficulties, I can have peace and security and calmness and all the fruits of the Spirit because I'm connected to Jesus. The Holy Spirit lives in me.
That's
real free.
We are given a merit of grace, or lots of grace. I wouldn't even want to put it in the small. So that's the thing, that when we do go through difficulties, and we're in this world, be in this world but not of it, we're in this world, we're going to go through some difficulties, some trials, but that's where the grace of God
is
so magnificent.
Well, it's time.
It is.
So I'll close.
Okay.
Okay. Lord, help me walk in this. Help us all to walk knowing that we are completely accepted as we are. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Nothing more to say than that.
Bye, folks.
Have a good day.